Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Your grandma can probably build a perfect fire, fold a fitted sheet, bake a rhubarb pie, and sew on a button. She can balance her checkbook, iron better than you, and barter better than you. My next guest, Erin Breed, senior staff writer at Self Magazine, has written a new book called How to Sew a Button and Other Nifty Things Your Grandmother Knew. It's partly a how-to book and partly a reflection on a bygone era. She joins me now to talk about why we've become so domestically incompetent and what we can learn from the wisdom of our grandmothers. Erin Breed, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, in honor of grandmothers, we've posted some of our favorite grandma-related songs on our blog. You can hear Lyle Lovett's song about his grandmother. Watch Bill Withers sing Grandma's Hands, and we posted several versions of Eco Eco there, including Cyndi Lauper, Dr. John, a remix by Santo Gold, and an Electro Clash version by Glass Candy. So check out the Brian Lehrer Show's favorite grandma songs on our blog, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And what did your grandmother teach you? What particular tricks did you glean from an older relative or friend that you think are getting lost in general society? Call us up right now if you want at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Erin, your book begins with a story of your own domestic incompetence. It involves a failed strawberry rhubarb pie. What's the story?
It's a nice thing to be known for, isn't it? I tried to impress my friends and make them a strawberry rhubarb pie. So I searched high and low all through Brooklyn's grocery stores looking for the perfect bunch of rhubarb. And I made the pie. I found the rhubarb, made the pie, put it in with the flour and sugar and baked it up to a golden brown and served it to my friends. And they tasted it, and it was horrible, just awful. And it turns out, after some investigation, that I had accidentally purchased a bunch of Swiss chard instead of rhubarb, which looks sort of similar.
Oops.
But oops is right.
Not great pie material.
No, not great pie material. But I used to clip rhubarb out of the garden with my grandmother when I was a kid, and now I can't even identify it in the grocery store. And that got me thinking, what other things have I never learned or have I forgotten as an adult?
And so you've collected lots of things from grandmas in the so-called greatest generation, everything from how to roast a chicken to how to plant a vegetable garden, how to remove stains, dry apples, swaddle a newborn, wear red lipstick, tie a necktie, and how to negotiate a better price. And you acknowledge that there are many ways to do all these things, but the way you do them is almost not the point, right?
Exactly. I think the point is to give it a try. I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I learned, as you said, being somebody who was pretty much domestically incompetent. It's taking the leap and giving it a try and realizing that these things are not hard to learn. And also that our grandmothers, they weren't born pros. They weren't born knowing how to make the perfect pie or negotiating the best bargain or being the best neighbor, but you can learn it through experience.
Let's take a phone call. Oh, no, that phone call isn't ready. We'll get to that phone call. Now we got her. Karen in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
So?
Well, I used to follow my grandmother around, and I learned a lot of what she did, and I think that you're kind of talking down a little bit to your audience, because I bet I'm not the only one that, you know, does everything by hand. I can knit, darn, crochet. I make my clothes. I, you know, make buttonholes. And I don't think I'm alone, and I also don't think that these skills are going out of style. I think they're actually coming back into...
And maybe with the recession, they're coming back because people can't afford to send things out or order things in as much as before.
I think that's exactly right. I think with the recession and the sort of... we've lost the luxury of being able to pay other people to do things for us. So I learned personally that it's not only disempowering not to know how to do things for myself, but also at this point, irresponsible.
You know, there's a male equivalent of this. There was that book, The Dangerous Book for Boys, and some other things about how guys over the generations have lost the ability to fix their own cars or do their own plumbing or, you know, a lot of those kinds of guy handy things. My gut feeling is that that Karen is right to some degree, that this has gotten lost less among women than the guy things have gotten lost among guys. Do you have an opinion about that?
I
feel like most women of my generation I know, you know, can sew a button and can bake a pie, even if they don't quite as often.
Yeah, well, you know, I got an email from somebody who had read the book, and she said, thanks to you, I'm going to bake a pie for my friends, and I'm going to totally freak them out because I've never done this before in my life. So I think, you know, people have different experiences, but I think having the knowledge and being able to make the choice whether or not you want to do it is where it's at.
Francine on Long Island, you're on WNYC with Aaron Breed. Hello.
Yes, hi. This is so interesting. When you brought up the subject, I thought of a lot of different things, and I think things like, you know, making a bed, yeah, absolutely, but my mom, my grandmother taught us how to split wood, how to upholster furniture, how to make applesauce and canning, then stuff like how to make Halloween costumes, how to make chicken soup, writing a thank you letter was just such an old art, I think, for us, you know, when we've grown up as kids. Another thing is how to use sayings, sayings that are even long gone. Like my mom used to say, you're as helpless as a whip socket on an automobile.
Which could be Aaron Breed's slogan for this book.
Exactly.
Say it again. You're what? Say, that was just too cool. Say it again.
You're as helpless as a whip socket on an automobile when I tried to do something. And I said, well, what the heck is a whip socket? And I don't know if any of your listeners know what a whip socket is. They might want to throw that out there.
I don't know what a whip socket is.
It's actually a socket on the carriages when people would take
the horse whips.
Horse and carriage out. It's a socket where you would put the whip.
You'd store it
so
there.
So that you would store it right there, yeah.
Francine, thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned learning how to take care of change a tire or chop wood, I think you said, chop firewood. And it reminds me, you know, I interviewed 10 grandmothers, all of whom survived the Great Depression, as the experts for this book. And I spoke with one, Lucille Frisbee, who lives in upstate New York. And she said something that really resonated with me, which is there wasn't men's work or women's work. There was only work, and anybody who was around was expected to chip in. So the men would hang laundry on the line just as the women would chop firewood or, you know, do whatever was necessary. And I think that's something that we could all stand to learn.
Aaron Breed, author of How to Sew a Button and Other Nifty Things Your Grandmother Knew. Susan in Union Square, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan. Susan, you there? Susan hung up. Is there a most common thing that the women from the Depression era told you that they lament has gotten lost?
Specific tips. I think they got most passionate when I was writing the chapter on money and interviewing them about money. And they said, you know, I interviewed one grandmother who's 95, Ruth Rowan, who lives on the Upper West Side and grew up in the Bronx when the Bronx was all farmland. And she, you know, had nothing. She was so kind and so nice and so warm. And when we got to the money chapter, she got very passionate and said, buying on credit is a dumb thing to do. I don't know why you would do that. Save your money. Don't spend it. So I think the idea of saving your money, or at least being smart with it, is the common thread through all of them.
Sandy in West Milford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, I am what I consider a very young 51-year-old, and I will never forget the day when I was 10 years old. My mother looked at me and she said, Sandy, do you want some clothes for school? And I said, yes. She pointed to the sewing machine. That year I had to make every one of my clothes that I wore to school. Even though I've done a lot of things to make a living in the last 40 years, I have always made a living as a seamstress, and I'm currently working in the wardrobe union on Broadway.
Aha. So you turned it into a career.
Yeah, and it has saved me on more than one occasion.
And other people come to you and say, what do I do?
I know, and they have no idea, which is, I'm just like, well, you just do it. And that's the thing that my family taught me, is that we never hired a plumber, we never hired an electrician. You just figured out how to do it yourself. And so now my motto is, well, really, how hard can it be? So.
Sandy, thank you very much. Comment from our website, Gina from Eastchester writes, from an aunt and corroborated by my grandmother, cut off about half an inch of the end of the cucumber where it was attached to the vine, and then give it a sniff. If it smells a little tart or bitter, rub the two cut pieces together and leave them sitting on the counter. The pieces will adhere for about 15 minutes or so. This will take the bitterness away.
Wow, that's a great tip.
So that can be in the second edition. And is the book just for women? Do you think men are warming up to the knitting, baking, darning, swaddling, and clipping coupons? It is a little bit trendy right now, actually, to do some of this stuff yourself, right?
It is. It's, you know, it's old-fashioned skills that we are newly fashioning for the younger generations. And I think, like I said about Lucille Frisbee, it's not men's work or women's work. I think everybody can learn from it.
Let's see. Who else? Ben learned something from his, oh, grandfather. Okay, Ben, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
My grandfather and my grandmother, actually, were both professional painters. They made all their living. They raised my father from painting. And my grandfather used to stretch all their canvases by hand in the basement on a contraption that he built. I mean, there might be commercially available canvas stretchers, but he actually built the whole thing from scratch.
There
and that is unfortunately lost on me.
Ben, thank you very much. Don't buy canvas. Make your canvas before you start to paint. Kevin in Brooklyn learned something from his grandmother. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, hi. My grandmother taught me so many things to make me a self-sufficient male, one of which was sewing. She also taught me how to cook as a male. Patience. She used to go visit sick people. So many things that I didn't realize would be so useful later on in life as you get older. You realize so many other people don't have these skills. I met so many men who can't even mend a button if it comes off at work. It's kind of funny.
Kevin, thank you.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lessons I learned in the book is that being rich has really nothing to do with your bank account and everything to do with your resourcefulness and your ability to find joy in good times and bad. One grandmother I interviewed named Alice Loft said, you know, reiterated that life is not about things. She said, it's about what you do with what you've got, not just what you've got. Living your life to try to make more and more isn't a good way to live. You need to appreciate what you have and look to others who aren't as lucky and feel blessed and wonder why sometimes.
All right. Well, bringing back the DIY ethic, Erin Breed, senior staff writer at Self Magazine. Her new book is called How to Sew a Button and Other Nifty Things Your Grandmother Knew. Erin, people are into this. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's